Thank you. Next up, we have effective school boards. These are split into three different 20-minute topics, and we will look to Brother Ronald Yancey for the first one, leading productive meetings.
Good afternoon. Good to be here with you today. The title of my talk is Leading Productive Meetings, as was mentioned, and thinking especially about effective school boards. So the title speaks to me of not just having a goal, but also actually implementing that and having productive meetings. It also speaks to me of the leader specifically, so leading a productive meeting. So let's, probably there'll be some focus on the leader of the meetings, but I think there's something here for each one of us. So you may attend meetings. You might meet family at exciting places, and or have meetings that are at a unique place. A school board meeting in general is not one of those. You would rather have a formal meeting location. You have an agenda, which is some focus goals. You have someone assigned to take minutes or notes, recording the important aspects of the meeting. And we'll get to that later. I want to encourage you to have life-giving meetings. How to do so? When meetings have good habits, they are pleasant and effective. We want to cover some of those habits. We want to look at meeting preparation, how to keep meetings on track, how to end on time, engagement during the meeting, handling difference in opinion, and decision-making process, and then assigning directives or implementation of what was decided at the meeting. Meetings are only productive if what was concluded at the meetings are actually implemented. Formality and operating at a high level of performance at a meeting may be important, but is there times to lay that down and to have more relaxed or more times that that's not appropriate? If time, I might cover some of that near the end. Why are meetings potentially powerful? Meetings are a place where two or more people discuss, debate, discern, can finally decide on course of action. This is from Merle Herr's book, Servant Leader's Guide to Effective Meetings. So everyone has a different set of experiences that comes to a meeting. I will have biases that come out. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a school board member. But in my line of work, I do attend a lot of meetings. I work for Christian Aid Ministries and administration. So probably have getting close to 100 meetings a year. So I do attend a lot of meetings. I see a lot of good, well-run meetings. Some, and I also am in charge of some meetings. So this studying for this certainly is helpful for myself and beneficial. Thinking about school boards, there's a lot of variation in backgrounds. 40 years ago, growing up, there was a lot of the board members would have been dairy farmers. Today, there's a lot of different. There's a variation in backgrounds. There's a mix of experience and inexperience. And I'm going to just say that, in my opinion, that's not a negative. That's actually a positive. Sometimes an expert might work in a field, and somebody new comes along, and they'll pick out an issue or can make a suggestion that was not put into practice previously. In Luke chapter 7, verse 8, there was a centurion that was talking to Jesus. He was concerned about his servant. He said, "For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth. I say to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." So the centurion, he understood authority. He understood that Jesus could had authority over illness and even death. He understood that. As a leader, you have authority, but you're also in subjection to others. We heard a bit about that already. Who does a board answer to? In a corporation, it might be the owner or shareholders. In a charity, a charitable organization, to donors, to those who receive aid, and also government requirements. The school board would answer to the church, also to Christ as head of the church, also to parents of the children. School boards are given authority. Teachers are subject to the board, and students to the teachers. So just now looking at meeting preparation. So as we think about meetings and trusting the Lord, I think we do that. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So we certainly look to the Lord for direction. Thinking about a meeting, if you have a devotional, I would suggest to keep it brief, but then go into the meeting and the agenda at hand. So having the structure of a meeting, it's important to have an agenda or objectives that should be clear in front of you. What does an agenda look like? I like to see a single page agenda. This is actually for a staff meeting we're having on Monday. It has detail, name specific people that we'll be sharing at given times. And also for a board meeting, there should be an agenda, and then also resources. So in administration at CAM, I prepare part of the agenda that goes to the board, and they also add, they put their parts to it, and it becomes a complete agenda. Then we also have resources or pages that can be anywhere from 15 to 100 pages of items that would be part of the presentation to the board. So that certainly can vary in size, and depending on what the issues are, what you're dealing with. So it's good to send out a meeting reminder and an agenda, and perhaps the resources if they're prepared. And at the meeting, you should keep notes or minutes. We call them. What should the minutes contain? The date of the meeting, the location of the meeting, who was present, and the important details of the meeting. We'll get to that again later too. Oh, one thing I'd like to point out, I may be going off on a tangent a little bit. I'd suggest for your school, if you have a logo, use it. use it consistently, have your documents look official and organized. If you don't have a logo, I'd suggest the name of the school with a font that's formally used, and I think that's just, I tend to advocate for that type of thing. So just looking at meeting time management. So as speaking, I suppose, especially to the leader, lead by example, come to the meeting on time. Have an understanding of the issues at hand. So how would you have an understanding? You would communicate with the school administrator or principal or teachers that you would be communicating with. Have an understanding what the needs are. Trusting your gut is not enough. You want to be prepared, come to the meeting prepared. Be willing and able to break down complex problems from an analytical standpoint. Exercise and develop these skills. Develop a culture of starting on time. Begin with those present, if not everyone is there. I know there's always exceptions. I think we all understand that, for getting there on time. How to end the meeting on time. You might set time frames for discussion, like for items of discussion. You might set time frames. You might assign somebody as timekeeper for each agenda item. You might have a strict time end time, that you know that this is when the meeting ends and everybody works towards that. That's just some ideas. How to keep the meeting on track. Prioritize topics. You would have ones you for sure need to cover that day. Use a parking lot. Items that could be parked to the side and maybe entered if opportunity arises. Talking then about engagement during meetings, who needs to engage, who needs to be part of the meeting, everyone present. I'm assuming that the teachers or the principal is there for at least part of the meeting, and I think that probably varies for each set of board. So think about ground rules. Having phones should be set to silent. That should be an expectation. Taking phone calls, that should be an exception. It used to be that people thought they always had to answer phones. Well, you don't. There's voicemail on most phones, and that should be allowed to be used in most cases. So delegate note-taking or minutes. What should be recorded? So when there's an understanding that you arrive at, that should be recorded. When there's a to-do item, that should be recorded. And with the to-do item, include a deadline. If there's a tabled item or an item put into the parking lot to be discussed later, that could be added as an item for later. How to encourage participation. So encourage meeting attendees to be prepared by having read the agenda, by having read any documents that would be shared at the meeting. That's the ideal, I suppose. Have a culture of hearing all views, even those you don't agree with. Learn to read the room to understand the people in the meeting. Have an understanding beyond what is being said. When you're assigned to share, and I encourage you to assign people to address certain subjects, don't hog the time, but give enough time for others to share as well. Going around the table can be a good solution, having everyone individually share. Leaders should not be afraid of what comes up in a meeting. Sometimes I've seen that already where they actually fear what's going to be said or what's going to be shared. Learn to receive what comes up and be able to defer that if needed. Handling differing opinions. So a board meeting is not a place to separate like Paul and Barnabas did in Acts 15, but rather work out the differences. First of all, different opinions are good. If everyone has the same opinion, then not everyone is needed on the board. So that it's good to hear a different opinion. Different perspectives bring light to a subject. One other thing, though, is don't put up with disrespect. Establish rules, always respecting each other, taking turns speaking, listening actively, critiquing ideas, not the individual. So if somebody shares something, you can maybe critique that, but be careful to critique the ideas rather than the individual. Seek common ground. Maybe you need to take a break and then come back and resume after. That may be sometimes just to rethink things. So just a few thoughts about decision making. And this is after hearing what there is to be heard. Now I'm sure each one of you has a system of making those decisions, so I won't really cover that aspect. Just a thought on that. First of all, Amos 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? So you need to come to a place of agreement, a place of accepting the varied opinions and understandings that you heard and bring that together into a motion or however you handle that. At Christian Ministries, the board makes decisions in private sessions, so administration staff would be there doing presentations, and then after that, we leave, and then they make the decision in private session. So I think that works quite well, actually. Next, assigning tasks or directives that a board has arrived at. Action items should be specific. I'd suggest they be written down. Written down so that they can be shared to those that need to understand what needs to be done. But understand human dynamic. Lead individuals into filling the directive. Herding cats is difficult, but leading and showing an individual how to do something, that is what you need to focus on in both from a board level and in administration. Legal and ethical items, you might assign somebody in the board to address those things. Confidentiality, I think that's understood. Certain things are confidential. For staff members or teachers that interact with the board, there should be a healthy dynamic there between the board and the staff. I think remember that both have the same goal. But the board should remember that staff are there day to day and they understand the day to day aspects of it. But sometimes having others come in and look, you know, to make a decision on an item certainly has value. But the board should certainly hear and listen to the teachers and staff. So just one more thing yet. So is there a time to lay down formality and take time? There, at Christian Ministries, there's a couple incidents in the last few years, very serious issues that we dealt with that it was stressful for staff and board, and there was a kidnapping. There was what we call the Haiti abuse situation. The staff and board were very stressed and you know, seeking, you know, having that time of prayer and hearing each other in a less formal way, I think has its place and brings value as well. So let's grow in our commitment to our school's mission and endeavor by holding the highest standards of integrity, achieving more effective school boards in part by leading in productive meetings and thereby increasing the effectiveness of our Christian schools. God bless.